Well, good evening, everyone. So the topic I want to start looking at tonight, as you can see on the board here, can Christians serve as law enforcement officers and in the military? I would like to look at arguments against serving and then deal with those and just look at some extended passages on this subject as well. So let's make a prayer to God. Holy God, thank you for this evening. Thank you for your love and compassion and for all you do for us. We praise you and we glorify you, and we want to hear your word. For we know that you rule in the heavens above and on the earth below. And since we have confessed that Jesus is Lord, we believe that he is our Lord, Master, Teacher, and Friend, and that he will show us by means of the Scriptures what it is that you want us to know and what it is that you want us to do. So help us with all courage to hear what you have to say and to do it. May we be obedient servants who know that the time's coming when we will meet you, we'll meet your Son, and then we will be able to live forever in eternity with you both. And we look forward to that event. But we know in the meantime, Father, you have left us here on this earth to serve one another and to serve our fellow man on this earth. So help us do it to the best of our ability. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, my first thought when it comes to this topic right here is, do we have to make a blanket statement? Because not every police force is the same, nor is every military. And even one police force that may be a certain way today, or a military that's a certain way today, may be different 50 years from now. Or was different 40 years ago, or whatever. So, I can't make a blanket statement about it. Some people will, but, for example, would anyone equate the American Army or military forces of World War II with the Army of Nazi Germany? There seems to be a huge difference between the two. What would you say is the difference?
Well, more compassion on one side than the other.
More compassion on one side than the other? Phil? Well,
one want to take over, the other want to defend.
All right, so one's the aggressor and one's the defender. All right?
You're saying reason for the war.
Okay. So one just was out to conquer, and the other was trying to stop that. And of course you would put the Allies in with America, or we're part of the Allies, and the Axis with Nazi Germany. So that's why in my mind I can't always put them the same, because there's a difference in that regard. Some police forces are so corrupt that that's how could a Christian serve them unless that's just his only form of employment and he has no choice? But first of all, what I want to do is, you can probably tell where I'm coming from already by what I've said. But what I want to do is I want to consider arguments against serving, and because I want to be fair as much as I can, and then, look at what they present and then have an answer for those things, or whatever. So first of all would be this, and it's probably the biggest one. Love, love for your neighbor precludes killing. In other words, if I love you, I'm not going to kill you. Yes.
Lots not the conscientious observer.
Yes.
The people looking, and they were taken into the service, and they became medics. They worked in the field, and many of them was killed helping medics. Earl Locke is a good example. And they carried a gun, but they never had a chance to use it.
Yeah.
And so the military does consider the fact that their people have conscientious of rejecting
right.
killing another person.
Right.
But I don't think I'm not going to argue about something. I don't know what I'm arguing about.
Yeah, sorry. I understand what you're saying. Well, you hear me reference Troy Cummings all the time, one of my Greek and hermeneutics teacher in preaching school, but he was a conscientious objector. So he did not serve at all during World War II, not in any way. And I've been reading his material today, articles that he wrote and things like that, because when he died, I inherited half of his library. And it's not very often that I would ever disagree with Troy, but... if I'm going to, I really need to consider what he's has to say. And I think a lot of what he says, makes sense. But some of what he says, I think he overlooks some things, which I don't know if I would say that if he was sitting here. But my respect for him was just so high. Okay, so let's look at Romans 13, 8 through 10. This is one of the passages that is brought up. And I would say this, that in the Restoration Movement history, for the most part, most of our leading preachers that you could name and list and everything, from the 1800s and the 1900s, or the 19th century and the 20th century, many of them were conscientious objectors. So Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. And then Paul explains himself. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay, and another one that they would use is... And turn to Matthew 26, I believe it is. Yeah, Matthew 26. Well, let's go back to 51 so we see why Jesus said what he said. And suddenly one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, and we know from another account that he's talking to Peter, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Now this third point here would be dealing with the military, hopefully not in a law enforcement situation. Okay, so what do you do if there's your own brethren who are serving in the army of the enemy?